Charlotte.
Welcome, everybody,
to Family Home Evening.
The Bad Mormons.
It's been a hot minute since we recorded for you. Do we just repent for the last time?
Yeah, let's get into it. For those who don't know, we are a couple sisters who were baptized Mormon, quickly fell out of the faith, and did a lot of drugs. And then we embarrass ourselves by telling you embarrassing stories of things we did on said drugs or booze.
Yeah, it's less about Mormons and more about us making fools of ourselves.
Yep, that's the ticket.
For you.
You're welcome.
You know who's fucking the coolest people in the world?
Is it our patrons?
Our inner circle.
Yes.
Our patrons. We love you guys.
Thank you for being you.
I just want to say how very much I want to be like you when I grow up.
Yeah!
Cheers. Cheers.
Today we're drinking mimosas.
And we wish our patrons were drinking them with us. Actually, hopefully you are drinking with us as you're listening. You
better be drinking with us.
We're not the only fucking drunk people out here, are we?
Right?
Ooh, that's good. I put the passion fruit in it.
Oh, nice, nice. So yeah, we can go straight into repentance. So I apologize for so many things.
The last episode we recorded was such a drunken mess, and it was super fun, and it was great, and I loved it.
I enjoyed listening. I actually went back and listened to it. I enjoyed it, because I don't remember recording it. So.
I was going to say, do you remember why we titled it The Flavor of Steve Bannon's Asshole?
Yes!
Because that was your goddamn genius idea.
Because our friend Courtney is a real big asshole who likes to make us play Would You Rather games, and we had to choose between Steve Bannon or
Donald Trump.
Oh.
I know.
That's right. And because I had read somewhere that Steve Bannon kept showing up to the White House chugging water because he was so hungover from the night before, that his butthole probably tastes like vodka, which would make it more palatable.
And that's the podcast you've signed up for today. So
I will not repent for that.
Put your seatbelt on. We're going to go for a fun ride. Who knows what's going to happen?
Merriment.
I would like to repent for two things. First of all, being the only person on the planet who doesn't know what the fuck Wordle is.
I keep seeing something on the Facebook. I just don't care.
I feel like I love word games and I should like it, so I'm gonna figure out what that is, and then maybe it's gonna be like the greatest thing. Everybody in the world seems to love it.
I just hate jumping on the bandwagon of things people like. Like, I refuse to watch Friends until, like, the 8th season, when it was already terrible. So there's that.
It did go downhill a little at the end there.
Sure did. We were playing a game last night that you had to add. It was a 90s trivia questions that you had to add how many friends there were minus how many Ross weddings there were. And I'm like, God fucking damn it. I don't know that. So it was 6 minus 3. I knew of 2. I knew that he was married to his first wife, and then Rachel, they got married when they were drunk in Vegas once, but apparently got married at another time, but I don't remember what it was, because that show sucks.
You know what else is supposed to be fun and popular? I haven't played it yet, but I've heard one of our patrons talking about it, is Ludl, like L-E-W-D.
Mm.
So it's like Wordle, but like I'm assuming it's like cuss words and...
Oh, I like that. Know, I can get on board with that.
So... We're going to do some research for you guys this week. We're going to check out Ludl for sure, and possibly Wordle. And then we'll report back on what you already know, because, again,
you're the one telling us about it
in the world to play the fucking game. And I would also like to repent for one other thing. We do this podcast. Sometimes we're drunker than others. And one very drunken episode, I happened to pop on the Spotify when I was driving to work, so I listened to it, and it's an old one, where we were talking about our Jolene Motherquin novels.
Oh yeah.
And there are some really solid gold great ideas. It was hard to listen to because we were too drunk to be recording that day. That's what happens when Courtney gets in the room with us.
It's true. It's true. It's, you know, I think it's fine.
But yeah, we really need to go back and revisit some of those great ideas. So I'm going to commit to do that right here and now.
You did write the first intro to the first chapter
and
it was so fucking good.
I'm going to write more. Today, the 86th episode of our podcast, I commit to you, listener, that you will have another at least paragraph of the novel by next week. I can do that.
Fabulous. Fabulous.
Okay. What's next? Mormon Corner.
I've got nothing. Because I'm not Mormon.
One of our internet friends has gotten some old books that she's been sending me pictures of.
Excellent.
And it's some real creepy, old-timey, misogynistic shit.
Of course.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So I got to connect.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
I got to connect with her and see what's the best way to share that with you guys. But maybe for this week, we should talk about another thing that we keep, you know, trying to come up with the best idea, the best way to do it. Week after week, we talk about starting our own religion. Yes. Maybe we should do that for Mormon Corner instead of Mormon Corner.
Perfect.
It could be our new religion.
I'm into it.
So,
thou shalt not.
Well, we've been talking so much about coming up with, like, a, you know, our false idol and, you know.
No, it's our idol, Mandy.
Sorry.
False idol.
Our idol, our virgin saint, whatever you want to call it. And we were talking about how much we loved Schitt's Creek on our 17th rewatch of it.
Yes.
Yeah, so we good. Decided on one of our previous episodes that Moira Rose was going to be our new god.
Our deity.
Our new deity.
Perfect.
So I actually did spend a lot of time yesterday, probably like, I want to say 8 hours on this thing. And I came up with some artwork, some digital artwork that we could use for our
Can we make merch. It an NTF?
We could, yeah, we absolutely could.
I don't know the legality of using someone's likeness, but...
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. I did... It is definitely more than 10%
altered. Nice.
So I believe that is fine, but I don't know. We'll have to see. Anyway, I put it out to the patrons already to see which ones they liked. There's a lot of different color schemes we could use, but basically, I'm going to put it on the internet so that everybody can see what it looks like. But so we've nailed down the fact that Moira Rose is our god.
Yes.
We have the artwork for merch and our services and our, I don't know, do we drink wine? We have to drink wine.
Well, duh.
During church.
I'm going to say, instead of paying us tithing, you can be a patron.
Well, I mean, that's the deal. The patrons are
our loyal subjects.
Right.
Excellent.
Well, our loyal subjects.
The churches.
Rose's loyal subjects. Charlotte, listen. If we're going to be making money off of people for joining our religion, we need to stop saying, like, hey, give me money. You have to just say, hey, you need Moira Rose in your life.
You're right.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you been a bad person? Has your fashion sense failed you? Mm-hmm. Moira Rose, mm-hmm. Repent to her.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the shallow cries for pay me, end today.
All right, fine.
We're starting a religion. Now, what we should do right now is we should figure out what we're going to call it. Because it's Schitt's Creek, I was thinking an obvious choice might be Holy Shit. Or the Church of Shit. I don't know. What do you think?
I feel like it's a little on the nose.
I like anything that makes fun of pop culture and religion together.
Holy Shits. Would be better.
Holy Shits.
Yeah.
I like it.
I feel more comfortable with that because it's obviously, well, I mean, it's obvious what we're doing.
Well, it would be spelled shit, of course.
But there needs to be an S at the end of it.
Okay. Holy Shits.
Yeah.
So listener, if you have any ideas what we should be calling our new religion.
Yeah, nothing's carved in stone at this point.
We already have our membership set up. We already have several members. That's not what they signed up for, but it turns out now that's what they're a part of.
You're welcome.
So if you have any ideas for our new church, take a look at our artwork. We're going to post it on the internets as soon as our faithful patrons get a good look at it first. And then tell us what you think.
They make all the choices. You get to see the outcomes.
Exactly. Exactly. Perfect. Let us know what you think. You can send us an email or whatever.
Right?
Just in case you need a reminder, Charlotte, here's the artwork. I made it in several different color variations, so you can kind of see which ones you like the best.
Oh, I do like it.
We'll definitely have a VIP members only, you know, t-shirt or some sort of a design that you can
put
only
it on
get.
A hat?
You can put it on a hat. Yes. You can put it on a sticker. You can put it on a giant wall tapestry. You can put it on a tank top. You can put it on a cell phone case.
Ooh, I need a cell phone case.
So anyway, look out for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. And, you know, we know that you've been needing a new religion in your life, something special to fill the gap.
One that doesn't belittle you or make you feel stupid. Mm-hmm. Or try to guilt you into giving us stuff.
Or try to mansplain why it's your job to have all the babies and cook and that's all you ever get to do. Not just in this life, but in all the future potential lives on the different planets in space afterwards.
They don't get planets anymore, Mandy.
Oh, that's right.
We won't promise you planets and then take them away.
Never. We would never do that. Right, I'm really excited about our new religion. I mean,
me too.
It only took a year of, you know, talking about doing it to really make it happen.
Do we get to come up with commandments?
What do you think?
Okay, next week we'll come up with some commandments.
All right, Mormon Corner. Good times.
Excellent, excellent.
Well, now it's Holy Shits Corner or whatever.
Holy Shits Corner.
We'll have to add that as a separate segment.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, you can't just get rid of Mormons out. That's kind of our whole thing.
Sorry, I'm just so excited about our new religion.
Well, I was going to say, which leads into Cool Shit, season 2 of Righteous Gemstones is out now. Mm. So, I mean, really, good Lord.
Yeah, Mimi turned us on to that one.
So and good.
It took a long time for that second season.
Sister Mimi?
Third season.
Sister Mimi turned us on to that one?
Yes. Our eternal sister wife, Sister Mimi.
Congratulations, by the way, on your nuptials.
Oh, yeah. Congrats, Mimi. That's so awesome. The pictures were adorable.
It was cute.
Yeah, Righteous Gemstones, if you haven't seen it, it's fucking hilarious. It's Danny McBride, so that's secret. All you really gotta say.
Yeah. There's a female Danny McBride in there. Adam, what's his
name? Adam Devine.
Devine, right.
Or Devine.
Whatever.
I think it's Devine.
And my favorite, John Goodman.
Yeah, it's so fucking funny. You should watch that. Also, season 4 of Ozark just came out.
Yes.
Did you finish it?
No, I'm about 4 episodes in, I think.
Okay.
So you gotta catch up, and then...
Yeah, it's just as good as the rest of them. Actually, I think I like this one better than...
Last season?
Season 3.
Yeah, I'd agree with that one. I mean, I like season 3, but yeah, this one's a little bit more like, oh, good.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, super good.
So yeah, that one's really good, and then I just finished watching Station 11, and that was amazing. To the point where I actually felt the need to go back and watch episode 1 of Station 11 after I finished it, just to make sure. That was just a... include everything for me.
I'm 2 episodes away from the end.
It's good.
Yeah, I was surprised at how much I liked Station 11.
Right?
I just noticed I was at Costco the other day and they have it on it's either a hardback or a paperback
book, oh yeah so totally.
You know what else is going on today? Sunday there's a big football game which determines the outcome of who's going to play in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
Look at me knowing stuff about football. Look only because
you.
I bet money on 3 football games last week.
Did you win any money?
I won every single game.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Nice. Good job.
I'd like to say that it was my picks, but it wasn't. It was Courtney's picks. Right. I just, like, you know, jumped on her bandwagon. But, yeah, we bet on the 49ers to win. They won. We bet on the Rams to win. They won. And then we bet on Kansas City to win. And they won in a game that was, like, actually really fun to watch. We were drinking wine at the bar and, like, you know, went into overtime and all this crazy
shit.
That's
awesome.
So, it was super fun. So I like football now.
That was a funny thing to listen to our episodes in order that were released out of order was listening to last week's episode. Courtney's like, Joe's trying to get me to go to a hockey game. Like, that's going to happen. And then the episode before that was us being sick with coronavirus from either the hockey game or the football game that we went to. So that made me chuckle a little bit.
Yeah. We don't always make the best choices.
Well, that's what the podcast is all about. Our terrible, terrible choices.
It's true. I mean, what are we even doing here if we're not making bad choices?
Right. But yeah, so I love it. Righteous Gemstones, Station 11, those are some really great shows.
Ozark. Oh, I was going to tell you, too, the Smartless podcast that we love so much,
mm-hmm.
they're doing a live tour, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was just listening to an old episode from November with Dave Grohl, which I had missed.
Nice.
Which was a great episode, if you haven't heard that one, by the way. Dave Grohl's so fucking cool.
He is cool. I think he's just pulling his music off of Spotify, too.
Yeah.
In solidarity.
Yeah, he is. I'm not sure how I feel about that whole thing, but
Is it because they host our podcast?
Well, no. I mean, we could always pull it off Spotify and then put it onto another server. I don't know exactly how to do it, but it's not that hard.
Right.
I just feel like, I mean, yeah, Joe Rogan's a fucking dipshit and he sucks, but it's like, I don't know why I'm hesitant to be like, because I know Spotify has pulled his episodes.
Right.
Where he talks shit and spreads lies and gets people killed.
Right, right. So, well, that's my only thing is like, it would be nice if people had the forethought to not just follow stupid information because it supports their narrative. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's a bunch of bullshit that he's spouting that's killing people because, you know, he's spreading misinformation and lies.
Well, and to your point, too, if I remember correctly, I don't have any sources in front of me, but Spotify's pulled at least 40 episodes of his off. So at that point, I feel like maybe if you're going to go that deep into it, you should probably just fucking pull the thing.
Right. Right. And which, if they had just done that, then this wouldn't even be a controversy. It would just be like, well, we're, as a corporation, it's not censorship because it's not the government doing it. As a company and a corporation, we've decided to not support misinformation and lies, and this would be done.
Yeah. You know why I'm probably so hesitant about it is just because, like, I was on Spotify from the launch of Spotify, and I've had it forever, and I have all my music and all my playlists, and
right.
The thought of, like, starting over again, it's probably just more selfish than anything 100%,
else. 100%, because I thought the same thing. I was like, I need to stop paying them, but I'm like, oh, my sweet playlist that I've made. But I also want to make the observation that makes me laugh, too, is that, like, seriously, you're losing amazing artists, like Neil Young, Joni Mitchell, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Pearl Jam gets on board.
Pearl Jam already did.
They're in it? Okay, yeah. So I was going to say Pearl Jam, Foo Fighters, J. Cole, all that. Or you'd be losing Kid Rock, Ted Nugent, like, fucking kidding me. Like, I think if this doesn't speak for itself, I don't know what does.
I read a really funny tweet that said, Kid Rock is threatening to release 10 new albums if they kick Joe Rogan off of Spotify. So back to the Smartless podcast. So they're doing a live show, and we really wanted to go. They're doing two shows in LA. Actually, they're doing two nights and then two shows per night, I believe. They would do a 6 p.m. and a 9 p.m. show. And I went to go try to get us tickets because I heard on the podcast with Dave Grohl, they were talking about setting it up. And I was like, oh, shit, that's probably already happened. And it's mostly sold out. Most of them are all sold out. There's a couple of tickets with not very great seats, you know, which are like, I don't know, $150, which is, you know, I feel like kind of steep to go watch a podcast.
Yeah.
But it is, you know.
I'd go. I'd pay it.
It is the guys.
Yeah. You know. I'd pay it.
All three of them are so fucking awesome. But there is literally, like, if you go on there to look, I was like, oh, I wonder what some of these, like, front row or first 10 row tickets are. Because how cool would that be to, like, be that close to the stage with those three bantering? Somebody's selling their tickets for $10,000.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The average going price is $500 to $750 for those tickets.
Holy shits.
For a fucking podcast. So I'm a little bummed
about
that.
I guess you only charge that if people are fucking paying it. Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a good podcast. I didn't think it was that good of a podcast.
It's true. It's probably just the celebrity aspect of it.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
If they weren't all so famous for other things.
Well, they're famous because they're fucking funny.
Yeah, they're true entertainers for sure. Anyway, so our dreams of going to see the Smartless Live podcast, well, I was going
to
say
could fly
they've
out
been
to
dashed.
Wisconsin.
Well, I bet you if we go to it the night of, we can get a ticket.
Tickets. You always can.
Because something will have not sold at the end of the night.
Or somebody can't go. Like, I know I went to a Danny Elfman concert, and I had two tickets, but nobody wanted to go with me at the Hollywood Bowl, and I literally just gave it away to somebody because I was like, well, listen, I mean, I'm going to the show. I could sit here and try, and, like, I had a scalper try to buy it off of me for $10. And I said, I would rather burn it than give it to you for $10. And I did. I think I went to the roll call or whatever. Like, and I just said, hey, if someone needs a ticket, will you just give them this one? Just gift for me. And they're like, oh, that's really nice of you. I was like, yeah. I mean, I don't know if it'll work, but I got to go. Yeah. I'm going to go get in my seat.
Yeah. Whenever, you know how much I love the Alkaline Trio, and I've been going to see every show, like, up and down the West Coast for 20 years, probably.
Right.
And shows in other places, too. But they always play you know, smaller clubs, and it always sells out. Every show always sells out every time. And so once I got to the place where I had a little bit of, like, extra income in my life, I would always buy an extra ticket or maybe two extra tickets because, you know, you can always get somebody to go with you. Right. But it was, like, my favorite thing in the world to show up to the venue, and there's always a bunch of people outside trying to get in, and it's always sold out. And just, you know, handing somebody that ticket like, here you go, you know, buy me a drink or whatever. It's, like, I call it concert karma.
Right.
And it's definitely worked out in my favor because I've gotten into some shit that I shouldn't have, you know, that was sold out that I shouldn't have been able to get into, too.
Yes.
And so I feel like when you put it out there, you get it back.
Nice. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool shit. That's the coolest shit of cool shit we've ever done.
That's even like how to be excellent to each other, I would even say.
It's true. It's true.
Right? I like it.
We can revisit that again.
Yeah,
that's how cool it is.
I think we should.
So what do you say? We hear a word from our sponsors, and then I tell you one of the funniest stories I've ever put together.
Okay, go. I'm game on.
Game on.
Look, November 3rd is just around the corner. You have a very important decision to make. This country is in shambles, and who's going to bring us back together? Just like you, I'm not pleased with the choices given to me on who's going to lead this country to the promised land. Why do I have to choose between one old guy who's accused of inappropriately touching women or some other old guy who's accused of grabbing women by their pussies when I could vote for an old man who's been convicted of inappropriate sexual contact with young women? That's why I'm voting Jeffs, Warren Jeffs. Why should I choose a lesser evil?
Family Home Evening with Bad Mormons is responsible for the contents of this message.
I'm Warren Jeffs, and I approve this message, little darling.
All right, are you ready for a great story?
Yes, I would love a great story.
I'm going to tell you the story of sex crime supervillain Matt Gaetz.
Honestly, he is a sex crime supervillain.
He is. He's so awful. And I was, you know, it keeps popping up on Twitter a few days ago. Something happened where, well, I'll tell you the whole story, but something happened where he's back in the news again for this investigation into child sex trafficking that started over a year ago.
Right.
And to be fair, I even feel a little bit like on the fence about calling it child sex trafficking because it's involving a woman who is 17 years old, very close to being of legal age, but still considered a child.
That's a minor.
Yeah. Underage, you know, not capable of making decisions
even
for
at
yourself.
18, my decisions weren't great ones because my brain still wasn't developed and I'm an idiot and naive. At 17, even worse. So
agreed. And I'm not saying that in defense of Matt Gaetz in any way. I just feel a little hesitant to say child sex trafficking because that makes you think of like small
younger
children.
Yeah, like 6 year olds or
yeah. It's definitely underage, definitely a crime, and definitely not okay. Anyway.
And he knew.
Yeah. Sex crime supervillain, I feel like, kind of embodies the whole thing. So, anyways, this started popping up on Twitter. Something happened. And so I started, you know, just reading the articles and then clicking links and clicking links and clicking links. And I went down the rabbit hole of Matt Gaetz' life. And I'd like to share with you the highlights. All right. So Matt Gaetz is a trust fund baby, as you know.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, trust fund baby comes from wealthy parents. His dad and his granddad were both politicians in Florida.
Of course.
So he's the third in line. And what I found out about his dad's wealth was interesting. His dad's wealth was largely created by defrauding Medicare by filing false claims at a hospice center that he owned.
Of course.
So he started this hospice center, and he had to actually lobby pretty hard to get Congress to allow like Medicaid to be a payment. And so once that happened, basically the center that he owned, it was called Vitas, started defrauding and filing false claims saying that services were rendered to people who like didn't exist or weren't there or weren't provided or whatever. So eventually
it was like insurance fraud.
But Medicaid and insurance,
right.
Yeah,
got it.
So that company actually ended up settling the case in 2017 for $75 million. Mm. He had already made a bunch of money from it.
Right, I was going to say, whatever you're paying is not what you stole.
Exactly. So that's kind of how the money started, right? So after a drunk driving arrest, Matt decided that he was going to declare his candidacy to fill a House seat vacated by a family friend in Florida. I forget which congressional district. But anyways, family friend in Florida decides they're going to retire, and Matt's like, I'm going to go get that seat. This person who retired, like I said, was a family friend. He was also a contributor to Matt's political campaigns, a pretty heavy contributor. And shortly after Matt won that election, this family friend was sentenced to 6 months in prison for illegally funneling $23,000 into former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee's failed presidential campaign. Right. Remember that in 2008?
So fun.
He was like, I'm going to be president. And the whole world's like, the fuck you are. So anyways, he illegally funneled $23,000 into that campaign. He went to prison for it. He's also been indicted on corruption charges, and he's accused of tweaking the Florida state budget to the tune of $25 million.
Jesus Christ.
And where does that money go? I don't know, but he contributed a lot of money to Matt Gaetz' campaign.
Right.
Right? So next up in my rabbit hole of research, Matt Gaetz' dad, Don Gaetz, who's a former Florida senator. He was a senator from 2006 to 2016. He championed a bill to create a nonprofit to manage settlement funds from lawsuits over the 2010 BP oil spill in the Gulf. Right? There's all these oil. Yep. There's this oil spill. There's all these lawsuits. He's like, you know what? We need a bill. We need somebody to make a nonprofit. Nonpartisan nonprofit to manage these funds. He then became the president of that fund's board.
Of course he did. Okay? Of course he did.
Now he oversees $380 million in money that's his job and the board's job in determining how that's going to be used for local development. What, this isn't a fun story?
It's amazing. I just, the corruption makes me want to fucking murder.
Yeah, and I didn't find all of this in one place. Like, this was right. Just a lot of different links and stuff. Mother Jones actually does a really good job of summarizing a lot of this stuff.
Right.
Which is a very reputable source.
Right.
But I picked stuff from, like, all over the place. So anyways, I think it's important to know that, to note that that $380 million is local development money. That's right. What the funds are for, right? So, next, in 2016, well, this is just kind of an aside, but it's interesting anyway. So, Matt Gaetz' wealth had dwindled down significantly by the time that he was ready to, like, go for this position that he's in now. Somehow, he contributed over $200,000, which is more than half of his net worth, to his own political campaign. And, of course, you know, it would have been illegal for his father to contribute six figures to his campaign. But somehow...
Would it be?
It would be, yes.
Why?
Because it's his I think it's because it's his dad, and I think it's because he's a former political figure as well.
Oh, okay. I'm not figured sure. Citizens United made it so that anybody could give money to anything at this point.
Yeah, I'm not sure why it's illegal, but it would have definitely been illegal to have a person in his position, whether yep. it's former political or what, maybe it has to do with the board, or I don't know.
Right.
But it's definitely illegal for him to contribute that much money
okay.
to the campaign. So what happened was Matt ended up, he didn't have a whole lot of money. He had a few assets and things like that. And he had, I think, maybe like $90,000 liquidated assets. And this is all public records.
Right.
So some random company came in and bought his house, bought his vacant lots, bought all of his shit, the same company. Turns out, guess who owns the company?
It's his dad.
It's his dad. Daddy owns it.
Must be nice.
Mm-hmm. So now, let's switch gears and we'll talk about the sex crime supervillain investigation.
Oh.
I know. So basically...
All I can think of is that picture you posted of Matt Gaetz with a ticker, like, hat and, like, Spider-Man underwear. It's so gross.
With the Spy Kids poster on the wall in the background. Yeah. It looks like he's, like, broken into a nursery and put on baby clothes for the furry convention. No, not furry. That's rude. For the adult baby convention.
He's like, yeah, don't do that to furries. They don't deserve that.
I'm actually going to use that same picture as our cover photo this week.
Perfect. Excellent.
Because why wouldn't you?
It's well, perfect. I mean, you can't make this shit up.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I have some really, really good stuff for you. I had no idea how this whole Matt Gaetz's sex scandal story got started, but that story is actually almost even as good as the sex scandal story itself.
Mm.
So most of this information I'm getting from a Washington Post article that was written by Matt Zapatosky and Michael Scherer, just to give them credit because I stole a lot of their hard work.
Nice. good.
Just summarizing it for y'all on the podcast today. But so here's how it started. So in the Orlando area, there's a prep school. And somebody sent a letter to that school claiming to have proof that a music teacher there had an inappropriate relationship with one of the students, right? And the writer claimed to have proof via Facebook Messenger and Twitter, or, you know, tweets back and forth, you know, private messages of the two that they could provide to prove that this was real.
Let me guess, it was Matt Gaetz's nephew. Oh, no, wait, the green guy, Greenberg's nephew.
Well, yeah, spoiler alert.
I was guessing.
It's nobody's nephew, actually. Okay. But so one of the more, like, damning phrases between these two, the messages between the teacher and the student was from the teacher to the student. He says, "Please remember to keep this secret. I could go to jail." Right?
Okay, right.
So, funny story. This teacher had recently announced a run in a local tax collector's race in Seminole County, Florida, challenging now-convicted sex trafficker Joel Greenberg.
Okay,
nice. So you know Joel Greenberg, right? He's
his buddy, right? Matt Gaetz's buddy?
He's his buddy, and he's...
See, the one who was getting the Venmo payments?
Yeah, he was coordinating all of it. I'm going to give you a whole list of all the shit that went down. But he was basically the tax collector. This guy's running against him, and he... Yeah, he did a whole lot of shady shit and rode down really hard with Matt Gaetz and a bunch of other people. But yeah, this is kind of where it all started.
Fabulous.
Matt Gaetz had nothing to worry about. Nobody had any idea, glimmer of anything until somebody wrote this letter with these Facebook messages saying, like, this teacher's having an inappropriate relationship with their student. So basically, yes, spoiler alert, the messages were fake. The teacher did nothing wrong. This teacher had no, like, political experience or anything, but he was the president of a group called Save Rural Seminole, which was this group that wanted to fight this controversial mega development that was happening on their land. And so him and a group of other people were like, yeah, we don't want that. So he's, like, gonna, you know, try to get in and run for office and run for this tax collector position. And just kind of an aside note that's kind of interesting, this mega development that they're fighting just happens to be backed by this lobbyist who's employed by Joel Greenberg and who happens to be a former roommate of Matt Gaetz's.
Nice. Oh, okay. Just, you know, nice. Little connection
just
here and there.
A random little tidbit. You can find all this stuff out, but I'm just trying to summarize it for you as well as I can in a timeline.
Fair enough. No, I love it.
It's a little more like a Twitter thread. And also, one other thing I wanted to point out right at this point was, it's interesting that we just talked about Don Gaetz, Matt Gaetz's dad. He is now in charge of managing funds for land development. So that also seems like a very interesting coincidence. Does it mean that they're affiliated?
Yes.
Probably.
It does.
And then, actually, that roommate, the guy we're talking about, his name is Chris Dorworth. He recently, like... a couple of weeks ago, resigned from his position as the lobbyist of that thing. Resigned as the lobbyist guy on Twitter, publicly resigned basically because of what's all just coming to light. And he's, you know, doing some shady shit too.
Right.
Anyway, back on track. So the school gets a letter. This teacher's put on leave. The teacher has a friend from the group, the Save Seminole County group, that happens to be a lawyer.
Nice. Perfect.
And so he's like, help me. What do I do? Like, I didn't do this.
Right.
And so, you know, pretty quickly, like, the sheriffs realize it was fake, but they're not really doing much. It's kind of like the Styx of Florida. They're not really giving a shit about anything. And so the lawyer friend has the wherewithal to, like, contact Facebook and Twitter and say, you know, send him a preservation letter and be like, I need you to preserve evidence of these accounts.
Oh, nice.
For future use. Thank God. Right. That's the only way that
this would have come up.
Happened. Right. Exactly. So they do that. And then eventually they're kind of like losing confidence in the sheriff's department to actually do anything. So they take it upon themselves, the teacher and the lawyer friend, to reach out to the feds themselves.
Oh, perfect.
And the feds had gotten tons of complaints already about this particular tax collector office, Joel Greenberg's office, from like, you know, just citizens, employees, former employees, people who had been fired. There were several lawsuits about people who were suing for wrongful termination.
Right.
That kind of shit. People likened it to the mafia.
Dang.
Like, it was crazy. And so this basically was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, in a sense.
Right.
That got them to finally be like, all right, maybe we should look into this guy.
Right.
Right. Because it's technically it's fraud and it's, you know, like smear, like campaign. Is it campaign fraud? I forget the exact terminology. But right. It's really bad.
But when total defamation of character. You can lose your job for that shit. Like,
yeah, when you're impersonating somebody else in order to defame them and like
right, not just them. Do it just to be a dick, but also to try and win a race. Kind of like, I think that's probably where it pushed over a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. So luckily they had preserved the evidence, and so the feds are like, all right, we'll go check it out. So they seize his. Joel Greenberg's computers and his electronic devices and everything, and holy shit, what did they find? But, so much treasure. Some other shit, too. I forgot to mention that some of the other complaints about the office before the feds got involved were Joel Greenberg would impersonate a police officer, so he had a badge for some reason, and there was one famous thing where he had lights on his car, on his personal car, and he pulled a lady over in his neighborhood and flashed the badge and impersonated a cop, telling her she was driving too fast in his neighborhood.
Wow.
Like, this kid, who's also a rich kid, by the way, if I didn't mention already.
Right.
He's also a rich kid. He's just doing whatever the fuck he wants.
And right. Well, he's away got badges and label or IDs and fucking.
Yeah. He's opening. He's
tax dollars to his at his disposal.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of tax dollars. He's, like, encouraging everyone to open carry firearms at the office, which is making some people uncomfortable and shit like that. So, not only does he give jobs to, like, his unqualified friends, he makes up, like, unnecessary contracts to pay people for shit that's not even useful or would not normally be in the scope of his job.
Right.
He's committing fraud, he's committing wire fraud, bribery, and then... Now that they've got this evidence, now that they're starting to dig through his computers and shit, they're starting to find aggravated identity theft.
Shit.
And sex trafficking of a child. And specifically making fake IDs to facilitate sex trafficking.
Wow, right? That's fucked up.
Exactly. So I had no idea that the tax collector's office actually has quite a bit of clout.
Okay.
They can make new IDs.
Oh, well, that's weird.
And apparently people like, what do they call it when they... relinquish or they I don't know they give the tax collector's office like IDs of deceased people and stuff like that. Apparently you can use that to make fake IDs.
I just never thought I would never think about giving over an ID of a deceased person.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah
I don't know. Well, luckily we haven't really ever had to deal with that, but
right.
This guy was just the epitome of like a shady fucker.
Right. Interesting.
He wasted over $1 million when it was all said and done. $1 million in taxpayer money. He racked up like $400,000 in unaccounted for credit card charges for like probably the hookers and the drugs.
Right.
And the hotels, body armor, weapons, ammo, tactical gear, shit like that. Like total Florida bro shit.
Right.
Right. He would give he gave a $5,000 a month contract to this dude who was a friend of his, and then hired that dude's wife to be the PR for the tax collecting firm, which you know tax collectors don't need
public relations. What the fuck?
And he's paying her a 6-figure salary to do this.
I want to be a tax fucking collector.
Jesus, who fucking knew? Anyways, obviously, like that's moving on. So. When they dig and dig and dig, they find he's embezzled more than $400,000. So not just the $400,000 in credit card debt, but he's embezzled now $400,000 for himself. He defrauded a COVID relief program. Shocker.
Yeah, right.
And they found that he's using his authority as a tax collector to create fake IDs for himself, and he's creating them for the underage girls.
That's so
specifically to facilitate his efforts to engage in commercial sex acts.
Jesus, so they can get over state lines.
Right? Oh my God, dude. And then there's one point, too, where Matt Gaetz says, Once I temporarily lost my wallet, and I asked if I could go to his office to get a lawful replacement. I later found my wallet and didn't need this service. That's an actual Matt Gaetz quote. So in the context of all this, you're like, yeah, buddy.
Sure.
Sure you did. Anyway, so.
What a piece of shit.
Right.
And so now he's cooperating with government officials against Matt Gaetz. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
It gets even better than that, though.
Oh.
So we've got rich kid Florida bros. Like, they're broing down really hard.
So all the cocaine.
Yeah.
And sleep with all the underage girls.
Exactly. You know that's what the fuck they're doing. There's, like, photos of them with Roger Stone. You know, that's like, right.
Did I mention you are who you hang out with? Like, yeah, fuckers.
They're the most awful people. And then, of course, you know, famously, Matt Gaetz is going around with his phone showing other politicians, like, pictures, topless pictures of these real young girls.
I remember hearing about that.
On the House floor.
Right.
Right? And just being like, oh, yeah, my buddy Joel Greenberg hooked me up with this chick. Isn't she hot? Kind of shit. To a lot of fucking people.
Right.
Which, luckily for us, a lot of those people are actually making statements on record saying that he said that.
Fabulous.
So that's good. While there's no, like, physical evidence, there's, you know, witness testimony.
Right.
So, yeah.
What a dumbass.
Right? Total dumbass. So, moving on to Matt Gaetz. By the way, did you know, this is so funny, did you know that Matt Gaetz in 2017 was the only member of Congress, the only person to vote against a law boosting the government's power to investigate human trafficking?
I read that on Twitter. I did. Only person. Weird? Yeah. So strange. I wonder why.
So bizarre. Anyway, so here's where we're at with Matt Gaetz now. He's being investigated for, one, having sex with a 17-year-old girl.
Right. And I did read that, like, people had told him, just so you know, she's a minor. And he's like, yeah, whatevs.
Well, at this point, the fake IDs kind of give it away. Right. We didn't know that then.
That's
but.
True. I did not know about the fake IDs till just now. Yeah. So
now this new shit has come to light. Man. Right. and also, he's being investigated for paying women to travel across state lines for sex, which is where the trafficking comes involved. And I just learned this, actually, after I was already done taking all these notes. He's actually being investigated and probably going to be charged with obstruction of justice.
Ooh.
For a phone call that it turns out, like, his ex-girlfriend was friends with a lot of these girls. And there was a phone call that happened where she's apparently talking to one of the girls who's a witness in the case. And they patch Matt in and they have a conversation. And the details of that conversation aren't public, but I can tell you that Matt Gaetz' ex-girlfriend was just granted immunity to testify, and she testified a few days ago.
Oh, fabulous.
So it's all coming together. Get the popcorn out.
Right? God, I wish this was all televised.
Oh, I know. Oh, my God. Maybe it will be if we're lucky. So that's good. And then also, as you were saying earlier, Joel Greenberg has been very forthcoming and cooperative with investigators in exchange for leniency. He actually, I couldn't find a copy of it, but he actually wrote this weird confession letter. Do you remember this?
I read something.
Asking Trump for a pardon.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't find a copy of it anywhere online, and I clicked a bunch of links, and it's a dead link. It doesn't go anywhere. But I definitely remember that he did that.
I don't remember reading it, but I remember that it was a thing that he was like, and I'm going to need a pardon. It's like, innocent people don't generally ask for pardons ahead of time before they're even indicted on anything.
Yeah, exactly. And in that thing, he says he witnessed Matt Gaetz pay a girl, and he witnessed him have sex with her, and he witnessed this when the girl was 17. He's saying, like, I saw all this with my own eyes. So he's already, like, flipped on Matt Gaetz a long time ago. Matt Gaetz is like, I never did anything. Nobody was 17. Nobody was underage.
Make America great again.
Yeah. So the Daily Beast actually has a lot of great details as far as, like, technical stuff. Like, they list out all the Venmo payments.
Oh, right.
You know, there's, like, all these Venmo payments that are so obvious bro code, like, to girls saying, like, for school or, you know, tuition, shoes. One of them actually says there's a nickname that they're using for this girl who's underage. One of them actually, like, he sends Joel Greenberg $900 and says, hit up
XXX, whatever her name was, like, says her name in the Venmo
what
message.
What a fucking dumbass. So, love it. So stupid. So fucking stupid.
I love that the Daily Beast actually has a lot of good stuff, too.
Right.
So that's fun. Now we're getting up to what happened a couple days ago, which is this new character called Joe Ellicott. Big Joe.
Okay.
He is an assistant deputy tax collector.
Oh.
Best friends with Joel Greenberg.
Sure.
They're co-hosts of a radio show, sports thing. He went to his wedding. They go fishing together. They're total bros, right? You don't really know all this at the beginning when they're just like, some new guy has information. But now that enough days have gone by, you're like, oh, this new guy is actually a pretty fucking credible witness.
Right.
You know, considering that Joel Greenberg's the epitome of a corrupt politician.
Right.
There is a potential, like, credibility issue there. Right. So now that we have this guy, credibility locked. So apparently, investigators have gotten their hands on some really juicy messages, which took place after Joel Greenberg was already being investigated. And what happens is these guys are using this messenger app called Signal. It's okay. Like Facebook Messenger or WhatsApp or whatever.
Right.
But it's encrypted. And the messages disappear after 30 seconds. So it's supposed to be like a safe way to talk about stuff that can't ever be discovered.
Unless you screen grab it. Yeah.
Yeah. Unless you screen grab it, which Joel Greenberg did.
God bless him.
He screen grabbed all of this shit. And, well, here, let me just tell you what those text messages said first before I go to the next funny thing. So basically, this guy, Big Joe, his best friend, his best buddy, assistant tax collector, of course, is saying, like, he's worried that a lot of people in their circle are going to go to jail for having sex with a minor, and specifically said, quote, that could be considered trafficking. Right? He's saying that to him.
Who said that? Matt Gaetz?
No, Big Joe. Joe okay. Ellicott, to his best friend, Joel Greenberg, over this
oh,
app,
got it, got
right?
it.
And for whatever reason, Joel Greenberg screenshot that shit from this special secure messenger app. I did want to mention, too, that there was a thing that came about several months ago, might have even been a year ago, where Joel Greenberg and Roger Stone were having a conversation using that same encrypted app.
Oh.
And Joel Greenberg did the same thing, took screenshots of the fucking conversation where he's basically telling Roger Stone that he'll give him $250,000 in Bitcoin if he'll get him a pardon. Roger Stone's like, well, I can't make any promises, but let me see what I can do. And then a few like days later, he's like, I hope you're ready to give me that $250,000 because I'm pretty sure I secured you this pardon. And you know,
wow.
Roger Stone's like, I don't know anything about that. I never said that. And then Joel Greenberg's like, oh, oops, they found these text messages I screenshotted when they seized all my shit. Roger Stone's like, oh, I guess I did say that.
Wow.
Right? What a
dipshit. I love that. Because Instagram has that, too. You can send a picture, kind of like Snapchat. It's supposed to go right away. But if you screen grab it, there's nothing you can do. But now, at least, Instagram tells the other person they've screen grabbed it.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, this doesn't have that.
I guess not. Yeah. This guy, so this best friend, Big Joe, he was obviously also scamming the tax collector's office. Not to the same degree.
Right. Well, he's only an assistant. He can only get away with a quarter of that.
Right? He's got his own personal vehicles, you know, $16,000 in credit card charges. He's got a sexual harassment suit from somebody who worked there,
mm-hmm.
who was actually won that case and was paid out $40,000 by the county for being sexually harassed at work. You know, clothes, tools, like all the shit. And basically, he's the big news is this guy's willing to cooperate, and he knows he's in deep shit.
Right.
He's already made a deal with investigators. That's public news. That's all over
right.
the internet. Exactly. Exactly.
Fabulous.
He's already pleaded guilty to bribery, but that's it.
Okay.
And so he's been made a deal for leniency in exchange for his testimony. So whatever that testimony is what we're about to find out.
Yes.
So I just thought that was like, I had no idea, like, all those details were involved in this case. It's
right.
really, really fucking great to hear.
Yeah,
them
no, because it sounds like it won't just get swept under a rug like fucking everything else seems to be.
Yeah. And then I was like, where is Matt Gaetz on all this? Like, he's, you know, just keeps saying, oh, well, I didn't
I'm
do
innocent.
Blah, blah, blah. But I guess apparently he went on Steve Bannon has a podcast, some sort
of
racist podcast.
Of course he does.
Podcast.
It's the war room, you mean?
The war room, that's right. Oh, yeah, that's right. We did talk about that. I guess Matt Gaetz and Marjorie Taylor Greene go on it
I'm
a
sorry,
lot.
Who?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mudbutt Turd Girl.
Yes, that's the one.
But he was just on it, and he was, like, basically vowing retribution against the FBI and the investigators that are prosecuting him as soon as Republicans get control of the House back after the midterms. And I want to read you this quote that he said on the podcast. He says, "We're going to go after this administration state, and we're going to start with the Department of Justice and the FBI. That's the job I want. You know, send me over to the Judiciary Committee, and their sphincters will tighten because they've been doing a lot of corrupt things over there."
Oh, wow.
He sounds like Trump.
He's an idiot.
The FBI and the Department of Justice have become the enforcement wing of the Democratic Party. All I need is a gavel, Steve.
You mean the government.
Right? Exactly.
Piece of shit. So, what a piece of shit.
Yeah. I don't know if you know this, but Gates is running for re-election in November in the midterms.
Florida?
In Florida, yeah. In a seat that he won last time by more than 30 percentage points.
Ew.
So.
The problem is it's fucking Florida. Mm-hmm. Depending on where in Florida. One of my clients said this to me once. She's like, the thing about Florida is the more north you go, the more south it gets.
I've heard that.
And I was like, you know what? That's actually pretty accurate because Southern Florida is, I wouldn't say progressive, but it's a lot more, I don't know, there's a lot more of a gay community. Like, it's a little bit more inclusive, let's just say. Mm-hmm. Whereas North Florida is a real shithole. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if you live there, but it's true.
Yeah. It gets really brutal. It gets really mean. People
right.
People are, you know, awful to each other.
Right.
They're, you know,
I mean, unless
bullying.
Y'all agree with each other, yeah. You know.
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
You leave your cats at the fucking rest stops.
Yeah.
Fuckers. I'll never get over that. I'm traumatized.
I think that was Missouri.
No, we were going through Georgia, through a corner, the top corner of Florida to then get to Alabama.
Oh.
And every rest stop we stopped at had so many domesticated cats just begging for you to take them home with you because they're getting eaten by fucking alligators, I'm sure, or just starving to death. Like, it was the fucking saddest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, here's what I say. If you want to be excellent to each other, vote in the midterm elections.
Please. Tell your friends.
Get everybody you know to vote. Get people you don't know to vote. Get the kids voting.
Do your research on it. I mean, I like to tell you just to vote Democratic across the board. But the truth of the matter is that, you know,
that's
you should.
Well, that's how
but
you
do get, your research.
That's how you get Joe Manchin also and, you know,
right.
Kristen Sinema. Like, not
right.
all Democrats are good,
that's
great.
True, because look at them. They're not Democrats at all. They're just fucking holding shit up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do your fucking... It doesn't take that long. Read a few articles. See where their positions have been, how much they flip-flop, what they're saying.
And maybe you should even just run for office yourself if you got the time.
That's the problem, is that we need people to run for office. So, I was going to say, I skipped over it in Cool Shit, but I also watched that move or that show on Hulu, Dope Sick. And it's Michael Key, and it's all about the Purdue pharma you know,
family.
You know, they're the Sackler family.
Oh, exactly.
So Purdue Pharmaceutical is owned by the Sackler family.
Oh, I see.
And
okay.
They pushed OxyContin so hard. So we have a whole crisis of opioids.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you go in and try and figure out how they got to where they got, there's a person who worked for the FDA who was able to give them the label saying less than 1% become addicted to it, which is total bullshit. That person no longer works for the FDA, but they work for the Purdue. They get, I think, something like $370,000 a year. So if there's a politician that, you know, it's coming after, we're going to, you know, help them get along a little bit. Yeah, they make that happen. And then they work for the company.
Right.
So there needs to be laws out there that if you're going to be running, if you're going to be like representing the people and districts and all of that stuff, you can't work for the companies that you're supposed to be regulating afterwards. It was the same thing with the crash of 2008 for the housing crisis. The people who are supposed to be regulating the banks to not give predatory loans, the people who are regulating that started working for the banks. Like,
right.
That's fuck. And there's no law that says they can't do that.
Right.
So just fucking run for office so that these fucking assholes who are career politicians who only set out to benefit themselves and not the communities they're supposed to be representing. It's just, it's fucked up.
So yeah, if you're so inclined, if you got the time, if you got the talent,
you got
run
the,
for office.
You should run for office.
Yeah.
Make this world a better place, and that's how you be excellent to each other.
Thank you, exactly.
And you know how else you can be excellent to each other?
Or just excellent to us.
Thanks. I'll take it. Head over to Apple Podcast. Leave us a review and a rating. You know, I could take some positive and negative feedback.
You can check out our website at fhebadmormons.com.
Tell us what you're going to do to make this world a better place. Email us at fhebadmormons@gmail.com.
You can become a patron for only $3 a month and have all the inside access into our new religion. We also have official merch. You can find that on our Tee Public, which is linked on our Linktree, which is on all of our social media. And lastly, we are always looking for likes and subscribes on our YouTube channel to get the bad word out. So.
Yeah, if you want to see this awful picture of Matt Gaetz in a fucking Tigger outfit with Spider-Man underwear with a fucking Spy Kids poster in the background, head on over to YouTube. You're welcome.
And thanks for listening yet again to our podcast, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.